that anyway. Because at this particular moment, I just wrote the wrong thing down, even though I've studied it for hours. I'm like last year's Easter egg at this moment. Okay, y'all guys help me. What we're studying about is where Peter tells them, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control. Maybe it's 2 Peter. Is that what I said? I was in 1 Peter. I'm sorry. That's one of those things that, here we go, we're in 2 Peter. And we had it. Do you have that up there, Millard? Yeah, you had it right in the first place. I should have looked back there. Well, I guess that goes to show you what kind of class we're going to have tonight. This is a struggling effort to even find where I'm at. Dadgummit. Okay. I need somebody with a good, clear, loud voice that will read in 2 Peter. No, that still's not right.
That's not what you said.
That's not right. It's what?
2 Peter 1.
I wrote it down wrong. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Yes, there we go. Millard, you got it? Yeah, chapter 1. I wrote this down as 2 Peter chapter 2, and that's why I'm sorry. I did study it, I promise you. Even though I don't have a clue where I'm at. Okay, now. I'm glad somebody didn't take off reading that because it wouldn't have made no sense. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. If somebody would like to read that. Anybody? Say again?
Is that loud enough?
Yes, that's good, Emmy. That's good.
Well, apparently not.
Does anybody else want to teach this class tonight? I absolutely be struggling here. I'm going to get over here in front of Emmy where I can hear her.
His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Emmy. Okay. Now, I'll start right at the very end, the very last verse. Once we go back through all these things, this part, of course, it makes sense anyway, but this part will really make sense because you'll understand what he's saying. He says, you can do all this stuff that we're about to talk about, then you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. So the things we're about to study are things that will, he tells us, if we gain all these things and we strive for all these things, there's no question. So, in our Christian walk, that's what we want to talk about tonight. That's our goal, is it not? Our goal is to receive a rich welcome. Because, and I know I've heard people say this. How many people have you heard say, if I make it to heaven by the skin of my teeth, then, man, as long as I make it to heaven, I'm okay. Do you think anybody's going to make it to heaven by the skin of their teeth? Y'all think so? I don't think so. I don't think you're going to barely make it to heaven. Either you're going to make it to heaven or you're not. And it's not going to be just barely getting in. So, now, let me scoot back up here. It seemed like I wasn't echoing as much. Now, when we start back up here in verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need. Whose divine power is this he's talking about? Who?
Christ.
Yes, Christ. Christ. Christ's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and His goodness. Now, what if we strive after Him, and those are the things, again, that we're going to talk about, because He tells us, what will we have to find anywhere else if we're seeking and striving for His, for the knowledge of Him? I guess what I'm trying to say here is, if we have that knowledge of Jesus Christ, then we have everything we need in this life. We have everything in this life that we need for life and godliness. But that comes through knowledge of Him. Oh, and if y'all guys have anything to add as I go through here, just interrupt me, because I'm just going to go through these things. And as he is, and listen, I think the way Peter writes this is it's just so cool. But it says, through these things He has given us His great and precious promises. And that through them that you may participate in the divine nature. Escape the corruption of the world and escape the corruption of the world and its evil desires. He's telling us in these two verses right here, if we seek Him and we work, and that's part of the deal too. We have to work at that. As He gives us this promise, this great and precious promise. And what is that great and precious promise? Somebody has to speak up loud here, because I could barely hear Emmy when she was talking loud. What is that great and precious promise?
Salvation.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did we read in verse 11? Isn't that not what that great and precious promise is? If we do those things, if we strive and we do those things and we participate in His divine nature. And we'll get into that also. Participating in His divine nature. It says, for this very reason, make every effort. Now, mine says the very same thing. It says, make every effort. The King James says, does anybody have the King James? Don't nobody much study out of the King James anymore, because it's kind of hard to understand. But I like the word that he uses in the King James. Say what? Verse 5, Diane.
And besides this, all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge.
Yes, that right there. Diligence. What it says, with all diligence. I've asked this question before. When I just go back and do it this way. What is diligence? What is being diligent? What is it to be diligent?
Striving.
What?
Striving.
To strive.
And sticking to diligence. If you're diligent, you stick to the job.
Yes. It's an ongoing. This is what it says. Diligence is a steady, earnest, energetic effort. And that's that striving. And then it says, careful and continued hard work. That's what Webster says about diligence. He says it's a steady, earnest. That's what Miss Betty said. He's talking about sticking with it. The earnest, energetic effort. Careful and continued hard work. So when somebody says they're... If somebody goes on a diet and they're really wanting to lose weight and they stick to it and they're diligent with it, right? You're diligent to do what you have to do to stick to that plan and to lose that weight and to do whatever it is that you have to do to make that happen.
I guess another
good
word is determined.
Yes. Yes. With all determination. That's a really good word. Now, let's use this word right here. All. You ever thought about that word? What does all mean? Everything. That's exactly what it says, Miss Becky. It says the whole amount. Webster says the whole amount. Everything. Totality. So now, here's my question. What is it in this life do we do that we put maximum effort into?
Mowing the yard.
How long does that last, Jeff?
3 hours.
Yeah, it's 3 hours. You have 3 hours, then you got a break. And then you can rest and you can sit in the shade and drink your favorite, you know, lemonade or whatever that might be at that time. But you get that rest. You get that. You see that. But what he's telling us in our Christian walk from the time we're baptized and but from the time we become a Christian, we give our heart to God, whatever you want to say, whenever we become a child of his, we're to start giving maximum effort to obtain the things that we're about to talk about. And I don't know if y'all guys ever thought about that. There are a few things in this world. I remember asking this question one time over next door, and I said, what is it that we put that we give all our strength to? And I was talking about in Matthew chapter 22, And verse 37, I think it is, where he says, you know, love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul. And I asked him, what is it that we do in this life with all of our strength, with all of our might? And Margie Mann said, open a jar of pickles. She said, that's what she told me. That's what she said. She said, but the thing is, I put all my might into that, and once I get them open, it's over. There's not maximum effort, continued effort from that point on. But if you stop and think about our Christian life, and I was talking to Belinda about this, and she made a great point. If we are giving, think about this, guys. If we are giving a maximum effort, if we're giving all diligence to living our Christian life, all the time, and we put as much emphasis in that as we do our jobs and our hobbies and our other things that we do. Should people notice that? And you're not doing it for that reason, but should people not see the kind of life and the kind of person and the kind of character that you have? as you live and you're striving with all diligence.
It also leaves less room for other things.
James, and we'll get down into that. That's what he tells us. That's exactly right.
This is supplementing our faith.
Yeah. And if you're doing that, it's just like James said, if you're putting all diligence, if you're giving maximum effort into, and the reason I come up with that word, that saying maximum effort, because I think it's God's word. That's Diane's. I think God's word says maximum effort in there where it talks about diligence. Oh, it's not? Okay, every effort. There's one of them versions. I looked at probably 20 of them the last couple nights. One of them says give maximum effort to add these things to your life. And now we'll get into these things. I just wanted y'all guys to really stop and think about, are we as in our everyday walk striving to go back up here to this second verse, are we, which would be verse 4. Are we striving? No, it's the first one in verse 3. Are we striving to get that knowledge of Him in our lives? That's one of those things that the only way that we can get more of His knowledge into our lives is through this book. That's the only way. We can share our thoughts with Him in prayer, and we can get close to Him, and we can pray. But for us to get to know Him and what His nature is and what His, and we're going to talk about that when we get done with Romans. Somebody mentioned that. We're going to talk about His nature and His spirit and talk about that. So I don't, you know, it'll be a struggle to do that also, but I think it's important for us as Christians to understand God's nature and His spirit. And He's telling us here that make every effort. I know I've beat that horse, but I want us to really understand that we have to work at this. It's not like we can punch our ticket when we're baptized, that God punches our ticket for us and we're going to get into heaven no matter what from that point. Because if we're the same person, I'll put it this way, and I'll pick on Mr. George because he's sitting right here. If Mr. George is the same Christian that he was when he was baptized and he became one of God's children, if he's the same person, that same Christian that he was then, he's in trouble. Wouldn't you agree? That you hadn't grown? If you hadn't grown?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't grown and gained these things in your life and you're the same person that you were then with the same knowledge that you had of Him back then. Now, I'm not saying that at that point that, you know, that eternal salvation would be yours, but if you haven't grown any, I don't know how He can. I don't know how He'll give you that rich welcome into His eternal kingdom. If you're 50 years later and you're the same, very same way that you were then, and if I'm wrong, y'all guys can tell me. I don't have a problem with that. But I think He tells us in this very verse here, says, "For this very reason, may it give maximum effort to add to your faith." And again, is your faith much greater today, Mr. George, than it was back then? He didn't hear me. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And that's quite all right. That's quite all right. I'm used to that.
Well,
wouldn't believe me. I'm used to that. My wife does me that way. Do what, Marty?
given his all to keep us out of heaven, so we have to put in more effort than he does.
That's a great point. That is a great point, Marty.
Because he's not letting up on us either.
No. And the closer we strive to get to him, the more Satan's going to strive to keep us away. Some more effort we have to put in. Oh. Marty, turn around and tell
him. Go back there and get you all those hearing aids.
Well, I heard what he said. They didn't hear what he said. She said some of them people didn't hear.
That's,
I heard what she said.
Marty said that we have to work harder because Satan works harder.
Satan puts all his efforts into keeping us out of it.
Yeah, we have to make that. We have to put in that effort to overcome Satan's draw and temptations on us. And it's constant. If you're striving to walk that walk with him, then he's putting that there again. He's putting all diligence into keeping you trying to make that not happen. Well, I guess here's the thing. If you're 3 years into being a Christian and you're the same person that you were 3 years ago, you're the same Christian, you have the same amount of faith, you have the same amount of virtue and the same amount of self-control and the same amount of everything, you're not doing your job. You're not doing your job as a Christian. Jeff. The way I always looked at that, the way I always have looked at that is, your name is written into the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's like the saying that I hear, other denominations say that no one can take you from the palm of his hand. When you're in the palm of his hand, no one can take you from the palm of his hand, but you can step out of that palm. You yourself can move away from you. No one's taking you out of that. You're doing it yourself.
Hebrews 6:46, we studied that in the ladies' class today. He said that. Your doings.
Yeah, it's on you. Mm-hmm. And it's not the fact that he's erasing you out because, you know, you have done this to. Basically, it's all the same thing about we judge ourselves by the way we live. God's, when he talks about, I believe when God talks about his judgment, he's talking about, he's going to look at our lives and say, did you give all diligence? It's like kind of like Matthew 25. It's kind of like in Matthew 25 when he said, when I was sick, you visited me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And then he said, and when those who didn't do that to the least of them, he said, depart from me. So it's not that you're going to earn your way in, but you have to, I guess you have to, if I'm wrong, y'all guys can tell me, but I think you have to maintain that name in that book of life. Because if you make no effort, Jesus says so many times, he tells them guys so many times, the guy with the one talent, what did he tell him? He said, you didn't do nothing with what I gave you. Give it to me. Give me that thing back, boy. I'm giving it to this guy over here and you depart from me. I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't know who you are. And he was, and let me say this, and it appears, I did hear you, Michelle. It appears that the guy, the one talent guy, was in the kingdom because the master gave him something. So He gave him something, and he did nothing with it, and he took it from him, and he made him depart into outer darkness. Did that help, Jeff? Now, Michelle,
that
I'm sorry.
Judgment. Book's going to be opened up, and there's going to be some that are going to believe that they're going to enter into heaven, and he's going to tell them to depart from him. So I don't think your name is erased from the book. You'll stand, if you're a Christian, you'll stand judgment in front of Christ, and that book will be opened up, and everything you've done is going to be in there. And you're going to face him, and he's going to pass final judgment on you. So I don't think your name's not going to be erased, but your destination will change. I think once you're his child, your name's in that book of life. Because it says it's going to be open, and he's going to judge us by what's in it. Is that not right?
Well, and that's one of those things. That's why I said, I don't know that I have all the answers to that part of it, but I know that what you said is kind of the same way that whether it's gone from there or whether it's still there and you're judged on that.
Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name?
Yeah. And it's one of those things that the end result's going to be the same. No matter how you get there, the end result's going to be the same. He's going to say, depart from me. Now, say again, Jenny.
Depart from me, I never knew
you. Yes, I never knew you. Yeah, I didn't know who you were.
Even.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's why hope's such a powerful thing. Now, what I ask you, Mr. George, do you have the same amount of faith that you had when you first became a Christian?
Far more.
There you go. You have far more faith. And that's what he's talking
about. To survive. Yeah.
Satan's world. Yes, and what Marty's talking about,
because
yes.
Because the stronger you get, the more he comes after you. It's a challenge to him. I don't care how old you get. He's after you.
Yeah.
And he wants to break it. I mean, that's how he wins. You can't let him do it.
And that's exactly the very same thing. Y'all are saying the very same thing, and you have to. And I guess this is the thing. It's not like it's a requirement. It's not like it's a requirement. Okay, you got to add to your faith. You got to have that faith, and that faith has got to grow. And now it's a requirement that I got to add virtue, and I've got to add, the knowledge, and I've got to do. It's like Mr. George said, it's one of those things that it's not a requirement for you. It is a must. If you're going to be a Christian, you've got to grow in faith because Satan is going to be after you and it's going to get harder. And you've got to have that faith in Jesus Christ.
One of the things we do have going for us, though, I think sometimes we forget about, we talk about what's written in the book of life. Not everything we've ever done is going to be in the book of life.
Well, correct.
Only what we haven't repented of.
Correct.
Because all those other things are washed away.
Yeah.
God remembers them no more. They're not going to bring that back to you when he said not going to remember anymore. The things that you've repented of, that you've been forgiven of, are not going to be in the book of life. They're gone.
Yes. It's like this right here. Yeah. I've made this an analogy before. This is the book of life, and this is all your life that you've done, and you ask for forgiveness. Every time you ask for forgiveness, I'm going to tear this out because this is my lesson. But every time you ask for forgiveness, like you asked for it this day, this tore out, and guess what you have on this page? It's a clean page. And then the next day.
When you come up out of the waters of baptism, you're as clean as driven snow. You're as clean as you're ever going to be.
Yes.
But if you continue in that walk of life, growing and repenting, when you know you've done something wrong, you repent and it's gone. When it comes time for judgment, there may be nothing negative in there, but all your good works do follow you, and they will be in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, Michelle, that's kind of the same thing you're talking about. You just didn't say that.
Well, I wasn't talking about the repentance.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And I told you, the other thing I think we forget, judge you by the intent of your heart. Try as hard as you can. And your heart's gonna, he's going to look at in our hearts. And we don't understand.
And that's what that all diligence is.
It's our, yes. It's our heart and our intent. I think, you know, looking at our kids and our grandkids, and they mess up. And we know that. You know, Knox is horrible, handsome. He's just horrible. But he does what he means to. But, you know, their heart is so pure. That he's going to look at our heart and if we intend it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. God always wants the very best for us, just like we do for our children and our grandchildren. And it's the very same principle of that. Yeah, it's like the song, you know, it starts out all of self and none of thee, and then at the end of it, it's all of thee and none of self. And then we got to get to that point. And until we get to that point, and really get to that point, that's one of those deals. That's the way it's going to be. Now, let me get to this right here. We've gone through, I didn't necessarily want to go through all of the attributes here, because I could spend a long time on, so it's like the goodness. And one of those, in the King James, it talks about virtue. Virtue is so much more than goodness. When you look at virtue, virtue is, it says it's a particular moral excellence. It's a conformity to a standard of excellence, of rightness. I mean, and even with that virtue comes integrity, and everybody knows what integrity is. So I think that goodness is... And the NIV is, I think virtue is such a better word. But it goes on down here and he talks about this. If you possess these qualities, in what? In what?
Increasing
measures. That's what I was talking about earlier. That's why I asked Mr. George that question. Is his faith greater today than it was? He tells us if you possess these things in increasing measures, And they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the thing, and it says if you don't have these in increasing measure, you're going to be nearsighted, or either that or blind. And if you're nearsighted or blind, how many people would follow somebody that was blind and just follow them? Just because this is the thing. How do they know if they're going forward? If you're nearsighted, how do you know if you're going forward? Because in our Christian life, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be walking forward. We're supposed to be walking toward the light. And what he's saying is, if you don't have these qualities in increasing measures, you're either nearsighted or blind. And if you are, you can't go forward. And if you're not going forward, which direction are you going? You're going backwards. And if you're just treading water, which direction are you going? If you're treading water, let me back up. If you're treading water in a creek, or if you're treading water in a river, and that's all you're doing is treading water, which direction are you going? To what?
Didn't go anywhere.
But if you, most of the time, you're going backwards. You got to be putting that effort forth to go forward. And if you don't possess these qualities that he's talking about, and in increasing measure. That's why he tells us. That's why he tells us in verse 5, it says, of course, we've talked about that, but it says, add to your faith virtue. He doesn't say add to in every one of them, but that's what he's talking about. He's saying, add to your faith virtue, and to add to your virtue knowledge, and add to your knowledge self-control. And every one of those are adding to. You don't have all of those when you're a Christian. Is it done? You don't have all those things when you first become a Christian. You have to work at those. And anybody that says you don't have to work, that you that salvation is and it is a free gift, but it's our job to work at this. And if you don't think you have to work at that, you're not reading 1 Peter, 2 Peter. See, I still got it mixed up. So I thank y'all guys, and I thought that was, even though we got started off rocky, I thought it turned out okay.